As we have pointed out, not only pure me is in relationship with all the layers of the relative me, but each layer of relative me has its own consciousness and is in relationship with all the other layers. And finally, relative me is in relationship with the pure me. Subconscious me is in relationship with the observer. The observer is in relationship with the conscious me. Conscious me is in relationship with pure me, and through pure me with I am. All these layers, aspects of me, in order to become a healthy, sound, uniform, integrated organism, they must be embraced by the higher consciousness of pure me. It's like in this retreat, each one of you is a relatively separate individual. Each one is performing different functions. And yet, through agreeing to serve the cause of this retreat, we all create a harmonious whole, harmonious organism. And the higher cause inside you is serving the light of I am. All the layers of me, they must agree to serve this higher cause. As long as they have their own separate agenda, they create disharmony. For instance, you sit and you find yourself being sucked into your subconscious tendencies. What it actually means is that there is an aspect of your me that has separate agenda, which disagree with the higher intention that you have agreed to serve. Meaning you are not integrated. What your conscious mind decided upon, your subconscious mind is not agreeing with. So the higher intention has to penetrate all the layers of me. Certain minimum disharmony is natural, because there's no organism that is perfect. But when this disharmony is creating inner conflict, disturbs our relationship with our light, then this becomes a problem. in the spiritual teachings present on this planet, understanding of the dimension of me is very limited, which is limiting the nature of the path as it is perceived. When an average seeker or adept on the path wants to go beyond me, what they want to go beyond, since they have not grasped the essence of me and its meaning, what they want to go beyond are two fundamental things. One is the subconscious me, the mechanical mind, the subconscious me, which translates itself through constant thinking, constant processing of information, mental chaos, commotion. That constant thinking, that mechanical mind, naturally has been recognized as the fundamental disturbance, as suffering. So wanting to eliminate that is one of the motivations behind the science of meditation. But the second dimension of me, or the expression of me, or what is being identified as me, that everyone wants to go beyond, but is not really grasping what it is. Because first, it is so inherent. Second, it is so subtle. Is called self-reference, the self-imaging faculty. So going beyond the subconscious mechanical mind and trying to go desperately to free oneself from constant self-reference are the two fundamental motivations that are whether consciously or unconsciously at the minds of those who are on the spiritual path. What we are trying to say, that even those who deny the existence of me, or they claim its unreality, they are not really going beyond me, or even seeking to go beyond me. But what they interpret as me is just a very limited dimension of me they wish to transcend. While mastering the subconscious mind, when we have awakened the light of I Am and embodied pure me, is relatively easy. What is the subconscious mind? Excessive thinking. When consciousness is not rooted in its fundamental nature, its movement becomes corrupted translated as the mind. This constant mechanical thinking, the mind, is just a corruption coming from disconnection from our fundamental nature. The mind, which is not connected to I am, simply has to think constantly. Otherwise, that very me, which is linked to the mind, would cease to exist. Reaching freedom or relative freedom from mechanical mind is relatively easy. But to dissolve the self-imagining or imaging, self-reference, self-consciousness is much more difficult. And you will never feel what it means to be free from me, from the false me, unless you experience freedom from self-image, from self-reference. Transcending self-reference is one of the most subtle arts and dimensions of self-realization. To live in freedom from self-image is unimaginable for most human beings. Even those who have reached deep absorption in reality, they are still carrying with themselves the flaw, the disturbance of self-reference. Part of them is free, and part of them is still imprisoned in that mechanism. That thing which is called self-image or self-reference can exist on many different levels, from very gross and primitive to very subtle, almost transparent. When you sit in meditation, and for instance, you create an image of yourself as being very evolved or very unevolved, being proud of yourself or feeling inferior, not good enough. These are very primitive self-images, very gross, easy to capture and to surrender. Usually self-image carries certain emotional content. There's direct emotion attached to it in terms of good or bad. In most cases, it is related to the perception of how is one perceived by others, and so forth. But as we go deeper in meditation and absorption in our pure nature, we are entering more subtle dimensions of self-imaging, which is not related to any emotion or even comparison to others. Me is obsessively, constantly referring to itself, because this is how it always was, how it conditioned itself to exist. Self-reference is the essence of ego. In order to know that it exists, without having stability in I am, it is constantly referring to itself as if confirming, oh, I exist, I am, myself. When those meditators or seekers, suddenly in their absorption, they have the revelation that there's no individuality, there's nobody, really, no self. In most cases, what they experience is the suspension of self-reference. They don't understand. They cannot grasp what is behind that absence of self-reference. So the way they translate it is quite limited. What we wish to explore is how to grow increasingly into freedom from self-image, from self-reference, and how to live on the other side without self-image and yet in harmony with the qualities of clarity and intelligence. The soul does not need self-image in order to know that she exists, and she does not need self-reference in order to express her intelligence and function creatively. Self-reference in itself is a positive faculty, but when it becomes a way of living, when our experience of our nature, our own self, is constantly connected to self-reference, that which is fundamentally positive becomes a poison. You cannot grow into freedom from self-reference unless you grasp what it is and you identify it as your enemy. The true meaning of being egoless is to live in freedom from self-reference. And this freedom cannot manifest unless that which is constantly referring to itself will surrender. And it will not surrender until it truly becomes conscious. Self-reference for human beings is entirely unconscious process. No one is doing it. It is doing itself.